If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Welcome to Picayune Conversations. I'm Calvin, and this is Lindsay, and I'm not being misogynistic by speaking for her. She has lost her voice, and also her hearing is a little bit impaired. So I'm not really sure why you're here. No, that's such a lie. Lindsay's going to be participating in a different kind of way. And actually, it's going to be a nice little metaphorical. It'll run in tandem with what we're talking about today. I guess with what I'm talking about today. Here we go. My goal is to make her cough as many times as possible. Okay, so today we're going to talk a little bit about encouragement. Partly around a story that I have of an experience that I had this summer that I want to share. But also, I want us just to kind of start by talking a little bit about silence and how silence can be really uncomfortable. And I think particularly for people who are helpers, therapists, I'm looking at you, we can get uncomfortable with silence because we it's like we get this anxiety when things are quiet, and then we rush in like, oh my God, I have to say something. And that's not, you know, this is not an unforgivable sin by any means to interrupt silence. But sometimes the problem with doing that is that we interrupt something that is forming and developing in that silence.
It's not just therapists.
Excuse me, what?
It is not just therapists.
It's not just therapists. Lindsay's become a rabid chain smoker. This is why we're having this issue today. I've confronted her about it multiple times, and she just won't. She won't try the gum. She won't try the patch. And here you go.
I need more encouragement.
Yeah, you're at least off the vapes, right?
Yes.
You don't smell like kiwi mango today, so I think we're okay. So, don't you like have this alternate way of communicating with everybody today? Do you want to show us what you've got? Okay.
I have a series of cards. Is it backwards?
No, it's proper. But I am aware that people who are listening to this as a podcast can't
hear it.
So she's holding up a little card, handmade, that says, "I can't fill." I literally can't read it now. "I can't fill the space today. Turns out that's still therapy." I would ask you to expound, but I'm afraid we might hit the camera with some phlegm.
I can't fill the space with my...
With your phlegm?
There
are so few opportunities for me to rip her like this, so I'm really milking it today. Okay, so, you know, you gave us this, before we started recording, you gave us this little thing of, you know, that when you're texting with somebody and you see the typing dots, like the three little dots and they're moving? By the way, if you ever really want to troll a friend, you can get a little GIF of that, and you just send that as a text, and it's just going to drive them crazy. But there's this thing about actually giving space and waiting for a response, and we're so eager. It's like, you're not giving me a response, and so now I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you think and what you feel, and so therefore I feel compelled to jump in, fill up the space, etc.
Yeah. Treat people like they're capable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. In running in tandem with this, I want to share this story from this summer. Okay, so this summer I'm with my family, and we're at this really, really cool state park in West Texas. In Balmoray, Texas, there's this amazing, it's a natural spring, And what they've done is that they've built this massive swimming pool. And when I say massive, like, it is exceptionally large, this pool. And there's a, you know, kind of a deep area where there's, you know, like, there's diving boards and all this kind of stuff. And a shallow area, it's very, very fun. There's catfish swimming around in the pool. It's quite a thing. It's also, like, Instagram famous now, which is kind of a bummer. But it's still cool. I can confirm it's still cool. So we're there. I'm there. My kids are there. And I'm waiting to go off this little diving board. But there's this little kid in front of me, and his name's Roscoe. And Roscoe, I think it's very unlikely that you'll ever hear this, but if you hear this, hi, I'm Mr. Calvin. You don't remember me for sure. He was like, Roscoe's probably three, maybe, little guy with his little floaties on, and he's up there on the diving board. And so he's, you know, kind of waddling out there, but it's, you know, it's a little scary because the water's deep and the diving board is, this was not a high dive, but it's a little, you know, it's a little bit of a jump into the water. So, you know, he's doing this thing where he runs out to the end of the diving board and then he gets scared and turns around and then he goes out and then he turns around and then he goes around and you know, whatever this is happening. So then what starts to happen, right, is that there's all these other people who are maybe wanting to go off of the diving board. And so there's this little crowd that starts to form. Interestingly, by the way, nobody is particularly annoyed at this. And instead, everybody's there rooting for Roscoe. By the way, none of us know Roscoe. Like, Roscoe's not my nephew or, you know, something like that. Like, Roscoe's just he's just some kid. And the only reason I know his name is Roscoe is because I heard his parents say his name. And so, but everybody's, you know, kind of rooting for him. And so he walks out there and everybody's, you know, clapping and be like, you could do it, Roscoe, you could do it. And little by little, right, but he's just really unsure. So finally his dad has this really brilliant idea, he thought. So his dad walks out to the end of the diving board, stands there with his toes on the diving board, facing, you know, with his back to the pool, and says, Roscoe, come push me. And Roscoe goes out there and he gives his dad a big push, and his dad makes this big theatrical leap off the diving board back into the water, you know, like, you know, Roscoe, some superhero, gave him some supercharged push or something, which is kind of funny. But then what happens is that the diving board is shaking, right? And so Roscoe loses his balance, falls in the pool. Now, he didn't really jump in. Everybody goes nuts. By the way, there's like 20 people who have gathered at this point. Everybody goes bonkers. Everybody's cheering, screaming, you know, clapping, so excited for Roscoe. We're like, yeah, Roscoe. And Roscoe, of course, you know, falls in. He doesn't really like sink down because he's got, you know, 25 floaties on. But immediately his little head pops up out of the water and he looks up and there's 20 people cheering for him. And you would have thought that he had just, you know, won the Nobel Peace Prize or something. He's just beaming. He's just so happy. So, of course, he swims to the edge, climbs out, runs back out on the diving board, and this time jumps off voluntarily. And, of course, now everybody really goes bonkers. And the crowd now has grown to probably 30 people because everybody heard him screaming for the first time. So I told you this story a while ago. The reason I think this is a cool story when we're talking about encouragement is that a few things. One, it came so naturally to everybody. So nobody had to be instructed, hey, by the way, there's this little kid, Roscoe, and it's his first time off the diving board, so let's try and be really encouraging. Everybody just did this just naturally. And when I say 25, I mean it's 25, 30 people.
They just knew the assignment.
Everybody just showed up and did what they were supposed to do, which is you cheer, you give lots of encouragement, you let him know that he can do it, and you give him lots of smiling faces to look up at after he does something courageous, even if it's just falling off the end of the diving board. So that's thing number one. Number two, nobody, like when he falls off the diving board, nobody's sitting there with their arms crossed being like, well, that doesn't count because technically he fell. Everybody's just like, everybody understands the reality of like, yeah, but he got off the diving board into the pool. And that's, so like there's this tolerance for something that's approximating, to use a behaviorist term, which I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit, a target behavior. There's this, like, this tolerance for an approximation of a target behavior. Nobody's being stingy with our, you know, effusive excitement for them. So there's that. And then I think relative to our conversation today about silence, there also was patience. Nobody was rushing this kid. I stood there probably 5-7 minutes. By the way, in the sweltering West Texas heat, I very much wanted to get in the pool. But it's almost like that didn't, it's just, that didn't matter so much in that moment. Everybody kind of understood, hey, we just need to give this space. And so we give 5-7 minutes. Everything's okay. We have a great time cheering on Roscoe, and Roscoe ends up jumping in the pool. But, oh, there was this too, right? He falls off. He's in the pool. Nobody goes up and gets on the diving board. Everybody also understood, oh, now we also need to give him an opportunity to do this of his own choosing. Yeah. So there's all this space that got created for Roscoe to develop and show this courage.
Yeah, like nobody did it for him. His dad modeled it. Here, you can fall in imperfectly.
Yeah.
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 And it still counts.
Look at you talking. I see you.
It hurts. I love Roscoe. Doing it for you, man.
It's just, I thought it was such a special moment and a special story, and really taught some cool things, both about human behavior, but also, you know, about encouragement specifically. And lots of space. That seems to be kind of a big thing. Do you have more? Let's see here. The encouragement wasn't just the cheering. It was that no one rushed him off the board. Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah, let me not forget the heart. That's the card that she just held up for those of you who aren't watching us on video. Okay, so let's talk about applications, okay? Parenting is an obvious one here, since we're talking about Roscoe, little kid. So much of what parents need to do, and hear me when I say this, parent, so much of what you need to do is nothing. And I know it's like we have this, and this gets back to like our discomfort with silence.
Yeah.
It's like we're so scared that we're going to be bad parents that we go and we're like, well, what's like the best way to parent? And we read book after book after book after book, and we come up with all these things to do. And that's, by the way, I'm not casting aspersions on any of this. And there's, of course, a lot of wonderful parenting books. Like, I wrote a book with a big chapter on parenting. So I don't have some yucky feeling toward parenting books. But we're always on this hunt for, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And so much of what we need to do is not do anything. And just get out of the way, give your child space to figure some stuff out. Obviously, there are boundaries and limits that children need.
Like safety.
Yeah, like don't let them play in the street when cars are driving by at 40 miles an hour. Okay, sure. Don't let them stay up till, you know, midnight eating Snickers bars or something, you know, on a school night. But this is kind of, you do hear like how absurd these examples are. Like, that's the obvious stuff that you're going to do kind of whether I tell you to do it or not, probably.
Hopefully.
But so many mistakes that parents, the parents that I see, and the mistakes that I've made as a parent, it's that we're doing too much. You get involved when you don't need to be involved, you know?
It's disrespectful.
My daughter's over here trying to bake cookies, and I'm like, oh, no, don't scoop the flour that way, which is like, who cares how she scoops the flour? It's not that big a deal. She does a great job cleaning up after herself, whatever. There's an analog here, okay? Sometimes the typing dots in parenting are, oh, my God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And maybe it's just you just need to tolerate the anxiety of not doing anything for a little while.
Same with therapists. Beautifully said for therapists. Copy and paste.
Okay, yeah. Therapists. Talk about some people, and we say this as therapy, talk about some people who are so eager to help that you just want to jump in. And, you know, like, maybe it's not parenting books, but it's like, oh, give me 8,000 interventions. And, you know, what's the treatment modality I need to use? How about this as a treatment modality? Shut up. Just sit there in silence with your client for a little bit. And allow them to stew a little. And of course, there is a time and a place where we have to say things. And I'm not anti-counseling interventions. But sometimes we just need to allow our clients a little bit of time to sort something out for themselves, to sit in a feeling without it being resolved, without us, you know, rushing in with the, you know, cognitive disputation that's, you know, more positive and feel good for them. We can just allow them to sit in whatever they're feeling and courageously sort out for themselves what they're going to do about that feeling. I think you have another card for us here.
The last one.
Okay, so this one, you're gonna
thank you.
And up
I
a little bit.
I have no perception.
This has got to be excruciating for the people listening to this on audio. Today might be a good day for my clients to discover they can talk/feel/be without me rescuing them. It could be. And I have a feeling that your clients might have some opportunities for that today.
A little bit. I got to take care of myself, too. I have to model self-respect.
That's right. That's right. We're going to start by quitting the cigarettes, right?
I got to stop. Got to stop.
Sorry, tobacco industry. okay, so that's our little chit-chat about encouragement today. We hope this has been helpful for you. Big takeaways would be this. Make space for courage to develop. Courage is often developed when people who want to help and want to encourage, when they do nothing other than be patient and maybe cheer when some things happen. And Roscoe, if you're out there, hope you're doing well. Bravo. You don't need my praise, but you're going to get it anyway. Bravo for jumping in the pool.
Yeah.
Okay. We will see y'all next time. Stay tuned for more episodes. Hopefully Lindsay will be able to speak next time.
Also, I'm going to do this even though it hurts. His book is The Cooperative Family. You can get it pretty much anywhere, but just look it up. The Cooperative Family, the book that you mentioned that you wrote.
Yeah.
I can do the shout outs.
It'll tell you a bunch of stuff to do that maybe you need not to do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Read it, but don't listen to it.
Is that the takeaway? Wow, this is the strangest book promo I've ever engaged in, but I...
You're welcome.
But I appreciate the name drop. So, we will talk to you all soon. Be well. We'll see you next time. Bye.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.